Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled Overcoming Stress in the Customer Service Environment. Tom, Steve Kosha is one of the audience's favorite presenters. He has done multiple presentations for this audio series, but this one is just a little bit different, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Bill. This presentation is actually a radio interview on today's topic. It's off the cuff, interesting, packed with practical ideas on how to overcome stress if you work in the customer service environment.
Well, you're right, Tom. It is packed with practical suggestions like how much caffeine to consume or not consume, and how to prepare and respond for that first upset customer call of the day. I found it really interesting that 80% of what we convey on the phone is not our words, but the tone of our voice. 80%. Steve Kosha is one of the most widely published and quoted authorities in the trade publications on topics of customer service and soft skills. Both commercial and residential contractors gain valuable insight from Steve's soft skills seminars. His soft skills curriculum is taught worldwide at colleges and career centers. Trade associations such as ACCA, PHCC, SMACNA, AMCO, and NPGA host Kosha's speeches and seminars. An avid researcher of customer service trends, Kosha conducted one of the industry's first studies of stress in the customer service environment. This survey revealed the causes of stress along with the most common manifestations of post-stress behavior among customer service professionals. And now, with overcoming stress in the customer service environment, here is Steve Kosha with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
What does cause stress in that field of or that industry?
That's a great question.
I would say everybody's saying no to you or slamming the phone on you, maybe.
47% of the respondents to my survey said the number one cause of stress in customer service are calls from angry or irate customers.
There's a shock.
It's people again. People are so unpredictable. One person's mild inconvenience is the other person's major catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
They all react differently to situations. And when a customer service rep is on the phone and handling those calls and the red light goes off and you click to start the call, you don't know what you're going to get.
Right. So how can you possibly be prepared for every situation? Or maybe you can't, and there's just a way to learn how to deal with whatever comes through the phone?
Well, some of the small things that telephone professionals can do to be prepared are to pay attention to the common sense things, such as I have found that some telephone professionals drink too much coffee. And I've learned that caffeine causes the adrenals gland to overproduce epinephrine,
right,
which is the hormone that gives us that fight-or-flight response. And drinking all that coffee and getting energized and revved up to do something doesn't take much to push you over the edge when you get one of those calls.
Sure.
So I urge people who are on the phone and working with customers to limit themselves to 2 or 3 cups a day. When you get to that 5th, 6th, or 7th cup of coffee, you could be in the danger zone.
Now, and if you're like me and don't drink coffee, probably the same thing goes with soda.
Absolutely. Chocolate.
Yeah.
Anything with caffeine. And the other thing is rest. Get enough rest. When we're not well rested and mm-hmm. we can't think well and that call comes in, we do what's most instinctive, which is react.
Right.
And any human being can react. Doug, if you yell at me, my reaction is to yell back at you. But the thinking person responds.
Mm-hmm.
Is proactive.
Doesn't it take a lot of energy to be up for every call? If you're working an 8-hour shift, for example, and you know the company wants you to smile through your voice and be up and positive, and even though the people may be beating you up on the phone, it takes so much energy out of you, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I speak to telephone professionals who, after a shift, they are exhausted.
Sure.
Physically and mentally.
I'm exhausted sometimes after talking to in-laws.
Well, it's the people factor again. People will knock you out. And when you're on the phones, these people are in character. They're playing a role. They're forcing the smile.
Yeah.
I mean, the last call they just handled might have been agonizing. They don't feel like smiling for the next call.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what the professional does. And that takes a lot of energy. It takes energy to restrain that urge to want to retaliate when somebody pushes your button.
So do you give some sort of tricks or tips or techniques to be able to hang up the phone switch that off if that was, as you said, an agonizing call and turn around and just ready to pick up the phone on the next one and be pleasant all over again?
Yes. Now, there's no magic bullet for this.
Yeah.
But the things to do, since our metabolism speeds up when we get stressed, the thing I urge people to do is between calls is to slow down their pace of breathing and to think about what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
The fight or flight mechanism kicks in because we think we're going to be harmed. But the customers calling in aren't holding a gun to your head or anything.
Right.
So rational thinking comes into play. Also, forcing themselves to speak at a slow pace so they can select their words carefully. Because when you do get that urge to retaliate and you're not thinking about sleeping, about speaking slow, and the wrong word comes out and you convey some anger, man, that's the trouble, because when you get angry, you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret.
It reminds me, I don't know if you ever watched the Survivor TV program. It was your first one or the second one, but there apparently was some hard feelings. And I caught the last show, you know, where they were anointing the winner. And one of the ladies on there got up and gave a brilliant speech, I assume off the top of her head, very eloquently done, how upset she was, she felt betrayed, so on and so forth. People just, their jaws were dropping at how well she spoke. And later on, I think she was a little embarrassed at how forceful and angry she had come across. But in the heat of the moment, you know, that's what she was feeling, and spoke it very well. And once it's out, you can't take it back.
Absolutely. And that's how we all learn.
Yeah.
And a professional starting on the phone that learns it's not worth it to try to retaliate. And sometimes retaliation manifests itself as just being snippy over the phone. You know, using a tone.
Mm-hmm.
More than 80% of what we convey over the phone is our tone and attitude, not the words.
We're talking with Steve Kasha. He is the president of Kasha Communications. He's going to present a seminar on telestress. Now, is this just for people in the telemarketing field, or would it be for anybody who uses a telephone as a part of their regular tools, like a receptionist, for example, at a major company?
That's a terrific question. Doug, it's for everyone. If you're a teller at a bank,
mm-hmm.
if you work on the phones as a receptionist, if you do telemarketing, if you do technical support for a company, if you pick up the phone, you need to come to this seminar.
What is the most common problem that people have when they are on the phone? If they haven't had any training at all, they just think, oh, I'm a pleasant person, I like to talk on the phone, this would be a good job for me. What's the most common problem they run into?
People underestimate how powerful communication really is. Doug, the biggest barrier to communication is the assumption that it even happened.
Not just what you say, necessarily.
It's how you say it.
How you say it.
And it's not what you say. It's what they hear, mm-hmm. and what they think you meant. Again, it comes back to that tone. It comes back to the attitude that's conveyed.
Goes back to the old saying of perception is reality.
You said it, Doug. And it's how the customer has this expectation, the person you're speaking with, and if they perceive you're conveying through your tone, I don't have time for this, I'm bored,
right.
I really don't care. All that is conveyed in the tone and the attitude. So the beginner needs to understand how important the tone is and how important the vocal melody is, because our melody conveys a sense of authority about our subject matter expertise.
What's melody mean? What are you talking about when you say melody?
I love when people ask me those questions. Well, let me give you an example. I can say a phrase like, my name is Steve Kasha. There's melody in that phrase, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Steve Kasha. It resolves on a downward pitch. Steve Kasha.
Okay.
Now, if I were to change the melody and say, my name is Steve Kasha.
It's a question.
What just happened?
As if you don't know what your own name is.
I sound apprehensive, uncertain, and unsure. Just using the same words, but changing the melody.
Mm-hmm.
When a subject matter expert conveys content using the wrong melody, they sound like they're unsure. The customer isn't sure if they're speaking with a qualified person.
Mm-hmm.
Now the customer wants to speak to your supervisor, because you obviously don't sound like you know what you're doing.
Right.
So something as subtle as the melody makes all the difference in keeping telephone situations contained.
Do you advocate a sort of a mental checklist when someone's getting, the phone's ringing, you're getting ready to pick it up? Is there a mental checklist that you go through before you say hello? Or do you even say hello? Is there something else that you should say?
You ask great questions. That's great. There's a phenomenon.
Because I don't know how to use a telephone, so I'm learning.
There's a phenomenon I surfaced. It's called the dreaded morning call.
Hmm.
For anyone who's in the service business, whether it's retail, banking, manufacturing, I have found that some of the worst customers call first thing in the morning.
Really?
Because they're the ones that want to make sure they get through.
Ah.
And they've had all night to think about what it is they want to say. And they're prepared. And they've got their script ready. And I urge professionals, first thing in the morning, get ready for the dreaded morning call. Get yourself psyched out.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready for the worst thing that can possibly happen. Make sure you're smiling and get your listening skills sharp. Get ready to write things down. Because that first call might just be it. And the other thing that I surfaced in this survey is once you experience that dreaded morning call and you get stressed, it ruins the rest of your day. You don't you don't recover.
But on the other hand, if that's your worst call of the day, then everything else will look much better in comparison.
That's the way it ought to be, shouldn't it?
I would think so.
But it's often not.
No.
And people don't recover from that first call.
How about the other side of it where you have to make that first call? Let's say you're in telesales or telemarketing. And I've done that off and on from time to time. And I've always found it's hard. You always find excuses not to make that first call in the morning. Well, the paper isn't exactly square. You got to make copies, do that. Once you finally make the call, whether it's successful or not, it's easier to make the subsequent calls.
Get into the rhythm.
Yeah.
Why is it all of us are like that? I have the same experience.
Is that procrastination? I don't know.
That's what it is. And you're right. Once you get into the rhythm, you're rolling and you're going along. But making that first sales call of the day is always a challenge. Brian Tracy, the sales trainer, says, eat a live frog first thing in the morning.
Just what's he mean by that?
What he means is do the worst thing right up front. Just get that first call out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And once it's done, you get into the rhythm and you make those calls.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I urge if people are going to make calls, to start with a script. Make sure they have the first few words of the first few sentences down on a piece of paper. They should also monitor the pace of their speech and speak in an articulate tone by allowing their consonants to separate their vowels. And that heightens the vocal image. People think you're smarter when you speak in that precise articulate tone.
That brings up a good question. Let's say you work for a national telemarketing firm of some sort. Or, no, customer service. So they're calling you. You have no idea when you pick up the phone who's going to be on the other line. Happy, sad, angry. But from the East Coast, Brooklyn, or from the Southwest or maybe a little Southern draw, and you never know. So maybe your natural tendency is to talk real fast because you came from the East Coast and everybody from the East Coast talks real fast and they can't understand you because they're calling from Texas and they're not used to people talking real fast.
The professional communicator is in character again. They're playing a role and the role changes from call to call. It's exhausting.
So you have to wait till you hear that first hello and then you kind of, this person has a little bit of a draw, so I'll slow down.
Within the first 5 to 10 seconds,
right,
you have an idea of what type of person that you're dealing with, and you get an understanding of the pace of the speech and where they are emotionally, whether they're upset or whether they're calm, and what you need to do to keep things contained. If they're emotionally upset, right away you ought to think about the venting process. This person might need to vent. They need to tell their story. When people tell their story, they climb their hill.
Yeah.
And I urge telephone professionals, let them climb their hill. Let them tell their story.
Right.
And when people get to the top of the hill and they work their way down the other side, they start to calm down.
Then you can actually get something accomplished?
Absolutely, because when people are emotionally upset, they're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
Their listening skills shut down. You won't get the answers you need to your qualifying questions.
That's a good point. So if someone calls up and they're obviously that they want to vent or they're angry, they want to talk to the boss's boss, and they're not going to hang up until, they get satisfaction. You just let them talk and you don't try to interrupt them, or do you try to calm them down? You use a soothing, slow voice?
Good question. As they're venting, you ought to listen actively by saying things like, I understand. Yes, I see how you see things. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't like that if it happened to me either.
So you agree with them.
And those are empathetic phrases. It's not so much agreeing. I see things the way you see things doesn't mean that I agree with you, but it means that I see what you're saying.
In the back of your mind, you can say, I can see where you'd come up with that, even though you may be completely off base.
Absolutely. But those empathetic phrases, they do a couple of things. They send a signal to the person who's venting that you're paying attention and that you're actively involved, and psychologically, that starts to calm the person down.
Okay.
So they can get to the top of the hill and work their way down the other side.
So I guess the person is thinking, well, maybe here's somebody I can work with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
Well, how did you go from being a rock musician into teaching people how to be stress-free on the telephone?
Great question. I was a rock and roll musician, keyboard player, and when the 70s transitioned into the 80s and they started using digital processors in musical instrument keyboards, the features went way up, prices came down, and the customer base exploded. There was lots of new customers for these types of products. So the electronic keyboard industry grew quick, and they needed people to support the industry. So I started working the phones during the day, answering questions for people who own keyboard products and playing at night. So that's how I got my customer service start. And then I realized I had a logical mind. I was able to solve problems quickly. And I created these flowcharts for how to diffuse situations and how to work with different types of people. And believe it or not, they made me the manager of that department.
They found a niche for you, huh?
And eventually, as I was approaching the age of 30, realized I wasn't going to be the rock star that I hoped I would be. So I cut my hair, started wearing a tie, and became a business manager.
So the tips and techniques that you now teach through your seminars, these are things that you learned through trial and error yourself, for the most part?
I have 20 years of customer service management experience.
Wow.
I have talked to every type of person you can imagine over the phone. I've spoken to the customers. I've spoken to their mothers. I've spoken to their lawyers. I've handled all the calls. And again, and it's real simple. People really only want some help.
Right.
If you can convey that demeanor that says, I care enough about you to want to resolve the situation, it's so much easier to get things done.
Does it take a certain type of personality to be successful on the telephone?
Yes, it does. When I did my survey on stress, I surfaced two key types of personalities in customer service environments. In my survey, I named them the sensitives and the pragmatics.
Okay.
There are some types of people on the phone who are sensitive. They take things personally.
End up with, when they hang up, they're crying along with the person on the other end.
they get emotionally involved.
Yeah.
They feel the pain. They want to get involved. And it's hard for them to detach themselves from the customer situation. And then there is the other type that are pragmatic. And they see the problem for just what it is. It's a logical situation. And this behavior that I'm hearing really isn't important.
Right.
Because they're not really yelling at me. So I'm just going to play the role, convey the empathetic language so I can get to the real problem, which is, what is causing the customer to behave that way?
Sure.
Once you solve that, the behavior goes away.
So if you have someone who gets just as irritated at people who are already irritated, that may not be a good fit for them.
Good idea.
On the phone.
Good idea.
Maybe another career would be better.
Absolutely. But the emotional or sensitive types are the types that burn out in customer service.
Let me ask you this. As a manager, let's say we have some managers out there listening right now, managers of call centers, for example, and you're interviewing someone for a potential job as a phone service person, customer service person. What are some good questions that they could ask a prospective candidate?
This is a great question because I just wrote an article about this for SBN Magazine, about how to hire the best customer service people.
Right.
For managers, to get the best people into your operation, you really want people with the best attitudes, and you want people who have a clue about the fact that people come in different shapes, sizes, and flavors. So anyone you want to let into your call center must have some experience in dealing with the general public, whether it's working in fast food, retail, anything. And they want to have a terrific attitude. They ought to know something about your company, and they really want to be there.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.